At the top of the news, this Saturday morning final preparations are underway ahead of Pope Benedict XVI's scheduled afternoon departure for the island of Malta to mark the 1,950th anniversary of St. Paul's providential sojourn after being shipwrecked on her shores. Emer McCarthy is in Malta ahead of the Pope's arrival and joins us now live. Good morning, Emer.
Good morning, Chris.
Emer, this is set to be a brief visit, but a very intense one as well. Can you walk us through it?
Absolutely, Chris. This visit will last little over 24 hours, but the organizing committee has certainly exploited every single one of them. The Pope is due to arrive here at Lucca International Airport to touch down on Maltese soil at 5 p.m. local time. There will be, of course, the traditional welcoming ceremony. He will be greeted by President George Abella, both of whom, the President and Pope Benedict XVI, will make brief addresses. From Lucca International Airport, Pope Benedict XVI will travel with his Pope Mobile to the capital, Valletta, which lies just 7 kilometres from the airport. There he will make a visit, which is part of a courtesy call that he does on every single apostolic voyage, to the Presidential Palace, which here in Malta is known as the Palace of the Grand Masters. There will be the traditional exchange of gifts between Pope Benedict XVI and the President. And then from the Presidential Palace, the Pope will once again, on his Pope Mobile, proceed to Rabat, which is another city, but again, very close to the capital, Valletta. He will then travel to the Chapel of St. Paul, where he will meet with 200 Maltese foreign missionaries. He will not hold a discourse there. He will merely hold a moment of prayer together with the missionaries before descending into the Grotto of St. Paul, which lies beneath this church, for a moment of prayer before the statue of St. Paul. It was, of course, here at the Grotto where St. Paul was said to have sought shelter after his providential shipwreck 1,950 years ago. A moment of prayer concludes his public activities of the first day of the trip. Keeping with tradition, Pope Benedict will be staying at the Apostolic Nunciature, which is in Rabat, and it is from here early tomorrow morning that he will once again depart with Pope Mobile and set off for Granary Square in Floriana, the third city that he will be visiting in this 24 hours. Here he will celebrate Mass with the faithful of Malta. Following Mass, the Pope will have lunch with the leaders of the Church of Malta and the neighbouring island of Gozo, and his last appointment will be Sunday evening at 6 o'clock Maltese time with the young people of the Diocese of Malta and Gozo. The Pope will leave Rabat, the Apostolic Nunciature there, and board a catamaran at Kalkara Port to cross the great harbour of Valletta, accompanied by a flotilla of traditional Maltese fishing boats, to the waterfront, where he will be greeted by an estimated 10,000 young people before flying home to Rome. Chris.
Yeah, Emer, you were talking earlier about a lot of the movements being in the Pope Mobile, and it brought to me memories of his trip to Regensburg, which was a geographically sort of tight trip as well, but one in which the intense Catholicity of the population and a very, very warm personal affection for the Holy Father was evident every step of the way along all the routes. What's the atmosphere there ahead of Pope Benedict's arrival?
Chris, yes, as you point out, Malta is a very, very small island. For our listeners who are not familiar with Malta, it's only 320 square kilometres. So when I say these three cities that the Pope will be visiting, Rabat, Floriana, Valletta, they are in fact to most Europeans almost like one city because one borders with the other. We're speaking about very short distances here, and the Maltese people have been bombarding the organising committee to find out exactly which streets the Pope will be travelling along because they want to turn out to welcome, in their own words, their Pope. And the city has been literally decorated from top to toe with the papal colours of yellow and white, gold and white, as our listeners will be familiar. And of course, the Maltese red and white. I've been on one or two trips so far, Chris, but I've never seen such a high level of decoration and preparation, flowers, banners. The Maltese people really are very excited about this trip.
Catholicism, Emer, has been an essential element of Maltese identity for centuries. You're painting the picture of an identity that's still strong.
It is still very much rooted in the Maltese psyche, Chris. I was quite surprised. I had thought that Malta, probably like its other European counterparts, would be witnessing the advent of what Pope Benedict XVI himself described as creeping secularism. And I was quite surprised to find the opposite. Malta is over 93% Catholic. There are 413,000 people on this island, and 93% of whom say they are Catholic. And walking among the people of Valletta, Floriana, Rabat, speaking to them, I have been shocked by how many of them not only say they are Catholic in name, but they are also very much Catholic in nature, Chris. They are very active in missionary activities abroad. There is a very, very strong current of social activities, the church's involvement in social activities here in Malta, but also the spiritual aspect is extremely important to them, Chris. An example of this was yesterday. I was in Granary Square, Floriana, yesterday evening, where crowds of hundreds had gathered to watch the final touches being placed to the great altar where Pope Benedict will celebrate Mass on Sunday, and listen to the choir and orchestra who were rehearsing ahead of Sunday's Mass. But there among these crowds who were listening to the orchestra and watching the workmen, I also found a very large group of ordinary Maltese people, Chris, young people and older people who had rosaries in their hand and who told me that they'd gathered there to pray for the success of Pope Benedict's visit and for the mission of their Pope. Let's listen.
I believe it is very important, not for Malta only, for the whole world, when the Pope goes to other countries. I mean, it's very hard, it's very nice, because things will change, it will be a different story. You know, it's for example, we are gathered here, these persons, all right, just to pray for the what's going to happen, so everything will go smooth, you know, and everything will done. That's why we are here, not to see the preparations and that sort of thing.
Do you feel particularly close to this Pope and his emphasis on prayer and reflection?
Yes, I am.
How important is prayer in your life for you?
It's very important. The prayers is very, very important for me. I'm practical religion. Yeah. I'm not only talking. Uh-huh. I practical my religion.
I see that you're joined here in a prayer group.
That's right.
Right outside the Cathedral of St. Publio. Can you just tell our listeners who St. Publio is?
St. Publio was the first bishop of Malta.
And he is the patron of Malta?
Of course, yes. He is the patron saint of Malta with St. Paul and St. Agatha.
How important is it to accompany Pope Benedict XVI's pastoral visit to Malta with prayer?
I do not want to
thank you. I think it is very important. It is very important.
Yeah.
So that everything goes well.